opportunity. All right, well, my name is Aaron Clark, and I've been married for 17 years, and I can say today with all honesty that I love my wife, and I say more than anything that it is a miracle, not just because of so much change that has come into her life, because my wife has changed a lot over the years, and not so much because I've changed over the years, but because of what God has actually actually shown us. And you know, if I just rewind the tape back to let the person out there know that one of the greatest miracles is that I can say I love my wife, because there was a time, and I will tell you this with no fear, no shame, that the reason my wife is standing here today is because I did not see a clear shot at killing her. And, you know, a lot of people look at me and my wife today and they see us smiling and trying to refrain ourselves from hugging and kissing and stuff like that in front of everybody. And they say, they just figure we ain't never been through nothing. You know, but, you know, I that's where I like to start, is that the reason she is here is because I didn't see how I could kill her and get away with it. I just figured, you know, it was just no way I could do it and get caught. It was one time I felt like I could. Then it was like, it was almost like I saw, I don't know if it was America's Most Wanted, and then he did the same. I was like, no, I'll get caught. But, you know, the amazing thing is that when you have so many canker worms, and that's what, you know, the theme of this is, when you have so many canker worms eating away at you, it can actually drive you to the point to where you want to kill somebody. And because I'm firmly convinced that marriage is the most instrumental tool that God uses to expose your true character. Because when you get in these close quarters, see, it ain't no running and hiding, and it ain't no I get with you next week and all of that stuff. It ain't no you can cover up stuff. It's everything got to be on the table, and I know all your stuff. You can't hide nothing from me. And they know things about you that they can say against you and use against you and hold over your head and withhold from you to where it push buttons in you to where you want to hurt them. And that's where it had got for me and my wife. And so, you know, that was all before Christ Jesus, okay? But more than that, I came to Jesus. And when I came to Jesus, I realized I still had a big problem. I still had this thing grinding inside of me that was dead set against this woman that I called my wife. It was just grinding. It was had this great disdain for this woman that I call my wife. And I did not realize all of the issues that I had in my life towards my wife. And but what time proved was it wasn't just towards my wife. It was towards women, period. I had a big problem with just women. And, you know, you add all of the things that come with a marriage. The children, the bills, the job, the house, the cars, and all of the problems that just don't never stop. And these things are going on, and you got something you're trying to fix on the inside of you, and she's got something that she's trying to get you to fix on the outside of you, and she's trying to get something fixed on the inside of her, and you trying to get something fixed on the outside of her, and you got some fireworks going. Well, I want to just say to you that my wife and I, we were at the point of wanting to kill each other, because I found out later she wanted to kill me too. And I remember coming in the house at night, you know, well, in the morning a lot of times, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and seeing that plate that was fixed. Now, you just cussed me out. I ain't eating that. She says she never poisoned me. I used to wonder. Now, what you just said last night don't sound like a plate would come with that. Not a plate that's going to revive my soul anyway. So, you know, the thing is that is these are the kind of things that people, I want to tell people this, because when they look at us today and they see the glory of God, I want to make sure that people know that, no, this ain't how we started. We ain't always had money. We ain't always had good times. We ain't always had a lot of things, and still don't have a lot of things. You know, but what we do have is peace with God and peace with each other. We got a God that we know that will help us. And God has given us the wisdom to resolve the issues that were holding us up from loving each other. You know, and I mean the issue that brought me back to wanting to just touch her, you know, for nothing. You know, just because I just want to put my hands on her, you know, and just hold her. You know, the kind of stuff you do when you're young and you just meet somebody. He brought all of that back. And, you know, when I meet people who are discouraged in their marriage and they just don't see how that can be, I say, you know what? I'm sure that it seems so far-fetched to say that it really can be. But I'm telling you, if you believe that God raised Jesus up from the dead, you got to believe that Jesus can raise your marriage up from the dead. And just as it was not easy for Jesus, it's not going to be easy for you, because I will say it was a lot of hard work for us to get to the point of loving each other regardless to what. And, you know, I want to say, too, that my wife has definitely proved over time to be my best friend. And in a lot of times when I felt like she wasn't my best friend, it was because I wasn't my own best friend. I was my own worst enemy, and I was blaming everything on her. And I was trying to manipulate her in a way that I could bring her to the place of being at fault. You know, if I could bring her into this kind of light to make it just seem like it's just you. And see, these were the hard truths that I had to come to. My responsibility. And the things that were really going on in my heart. So, and I'm going to let her talk to you just a little bit. And then I want to just talk about what the canker worm of marriage is. Okay?
Hey, y'all. I'm just going to, what he just said. Okay, what he just said about bringing it to light and making it seem like your fault. It's almost like sometimes that's like a woman that's being beat all the time. You know, let's just say they get to the point where her husband don't hit her no more. But every time he raises his hand, what she do? She flinch, because she got so used to those beatings. And a lot of times in our marriage, that's what happens. We get so used to the abuse that when the other person is starting to change for good, it's hard to see it. And we continue to hold on to the past. And we just won't forgive. So a lot of times it's just coming into forgiveness, because a couple years ago, just in our marriage, our finances were not good. And they're still not good. But the difference is we got peace now. And for years, oh, goodness, I mean, it was almost like being on crack for me. You know, I would check the bank account like every couple of hours, like something's going to change. Wow. But, you know, just in fear of the bills not being paid, not having enough money and all these things, and not trusting Aaron to do what he said he was going to do. And I was just holding all that angry all the time over those finances. And a brother in the Lord just asked me one day, he said, can you just forgive him and y'all start fresh? Now, how simple is that? I'm telling y'all, I thought about that. I was like, forgive him, start fresh. I like nothing never happened. Okay, I'm going to do it. Did it, and we've had peace ever since. I mean, and it was just that simple. But, you know, a lot of times if you got a mark, and you constantly looking at it, and you know he cut you, and that's how you got them 30 stitches, then it's kind of hard, you know. But it doesn't mean that you can't forgive. So I had to make it up in my mind that I was going to forgive Aaron and that I was going to trust him. And we still had some things in our finances happen. But now I'm at the point, I've seen enough that God can do outside of what Aaron does. So now my trust is in God. Okay, God, you know we need this. You know we got to pay this. You know what's happening here. So I talk to him about it. Now, I still go to Brother Aaron, like, hey, Brother Aaron, water bill, you know. But I'm trusting God. And what I've learned in my marriage is I can only give Aaron what I'm expecting out of God. If I don't have no trust in God, I can't even have none in Aaron. Nothing is going to take place until I build my relationship in the Lord. And if I don't have that, I don't even have that with him. So if I'm half-heartedly with God, I'm half-heartedly with him. So that's the thing that God had to start showing me. All my trust was in him. Yeah, it's true. He's my covering. And I'm to look to him for my support and all these things. But first, I got to look to my Father. And then to him. And 9 times out of 10, him and the Father is going to be in agreement. Because the Father wants what's best for me. So he's going to tell him what he needs to do in that case. And I just got to trust God for that. And, you know, it's true. People look at us a lot of times and they think, oh, you know, they're such a lovely couple. But there was time. I was just telling a friend, Chaz, you know, one time Aaron choked me till I almost couldn't breathe. And I really thought that day that he was going to kill me. And it's just those type of things that you go through, though. You know, he had been out all night, you know, and you know how that is for us as women. I mean, the devil is just, he don't let up. You know, it's a constant. He just in your ear, in your ear. So you thinking all these things, you want to react, and without God, you won't have no control over your flesh. So I didn't have no control over my flesh when he walked in the door, because really, I didn't know the things of the Lord. So maybe, I'm going to say maybe, you know, because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't there. But at this time, then, I probably would have fought him just, you know, if I don't know enough, if you don't have enough of trust, you still going to respond off the flesh. So, and at that time, I didn't have any trust. So I just responded off of that thing that my mother always did. When she wanted to get my daddy to do what she wanted him to do, she just hit him. You know, even though she couldn't beat him. She could not beat him, but that was her way of saying, I am serious about this, and I want you to get this done. So, here I am, building my family off the same reactions. So, it's taken me years to not be angry, not to respond in anger. So now, and you know, it's sad, you know, and that sometimes my kids have to say, ooh, you need to, ooh. Like, man, still ain't got it, you know. So they're watching. They're watching us constantly. So what he was saying about building that family, the family in the church, all that, is no way around it. You know, it's a constant. It's like being in the watchtower. You know, somebody is on watch 24/7. And that's how we got to be for our marriage and for our children. Everything is trying to creep in and steal our joy, to steal our intimacy from each other. It's just an ongoing battle. And most people in marriages don't want to look at it that way. Just because we're in the Lord, hey, it heightens. That's right. You know, the devil gets even busier. No, no, no. You ain't going to make me look bad. Your marriage ain't going to work. You ain't going to have 17 couples sitting here happy and excited and ready to do this thing. No, you're not. I'm going to do all I can to make you unhappy. I'm going to stay on you and your husband. I'm going to keep bringing up stuff. But who we got to look to? We got to look to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. So with that being said, I want to first just identify. Yeah, tonight we're going to be kind of brief. I want to identify just symptoms that will let you know that the cankerworm is working in your marriage already. These are just the symptoms. And I only picked out seven of them. Number one, the flame. You know, that love flame is either low or it's gone in your intimacy. And that intimacy is either physical or emotional. You know, and actually intimacy begins emotionally. Intimacy, what needs to be understood about intimacy is intimacy begins with the sharing of secrets. You know, we meet our girlfriends or our boyfriends and we get on the phone at 12 o'clock at night. We talking about things that we ain't ever told nobody. We starting to share secrets. And out of sharing those secrets, that's where the soul ties takes place. It don't start with having sex like some people might think. It actually takes place when you start sharing secrets and then you come into an agreement. And then before you know it, you got a physical thing going on. But after years of marriage, and you know, you can hook up with somebody like that and be real happy for a while. Well, you know, 6 months maybe. But then after a while, the heart begins to long for what it's designed for, and that's true love. And true love begins with intimacy. But when the intimacy, and this is what we're going to talk about, is how the cankerworm eats away at intimacy. I'm telling you, you're going to want to hear this. You're going to want to hear this. All right? So physical and emotional intimacy is gone. So we no longer have the heart-to-heart conversations, and sex becomes a duty. It becomes just, you know, it's just, you know, well, it's been just too long now. I just got to just go and do it, you know. Right, right. And you all that's here, so we might as well just do it with each other.
Right.
You know. And some guys, I tell you what, some of these guys are looking at porn to get hot to go in there with their wives. Wrong move.
That's right.
Wrong move. And then you can't figure out why you get up and she can't stand you. You're messing with her heart. You have things, number two, you have things you really want to say, but want to avoid or fear the negative reaction that it is certain to bring. Okay, so this is obvious that the cankerworm is working when you have something that kind of bothers you and you really want to bring it up, but it's like, nah, I know we ain't going to go nowhere with this. I ain't going to say nothing about this because if I bring that up, it's just going to be a fight. It's going to be an argument. It just, you know, just forget it. There's a way to get that worm, too. It's a way to get that worm. But number three, the confidence that you'll be understood, heard, and understood, it's gone. So you have on one hand, you fear bringing it up because of the negative reaction. And on another hand, you don't want to bring it up because she ain't going to understand this. Or he ain't going to understand. I ain't going to even bring that up. He going to tell me I'm stupid. She going to tell me that don't make no sense. She going to ask me why I'm still thinking about that. He going to ask me, what you still on that for? That's the sign that the cankerworm is working in your marriage. You feel like you keep going through a cycle. You ever feel like that? You feel like you got it, and then you go for so long, and then the bottom fall out. That is not the way marriage goes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He said, I change not. He is like the sun that shines regardless to whether there be earthquakes or tornadoes or hurricanes. It don't matter what's going on the earth, your flesh, the sun is the same, right? And that's the way he actually has ordained for marriage to be. There's something about the covenant that should stay the same. If your marriage seems to be on a roller coaster, you know, and you feel like, and you know that could end up being even more frustrating too because, man, we was going so good. We was going so good. We had it, man, we was all the way up to 8 months. No argument, no fight, no fallout. And here we go again. I'm telling you, that is not the way of the Lord. I'm telling you, the world wants us to believe that. The world wants us to receive that. But that is not the way of the Lord. That's not the way of the Lord. And I say this with confidence, knowing that the devil gonna try everything I'm saying. But I tell you what, me and my wife have gone through some things here, especially of late, and we have been able at the end of the day to look at each other in the face and say, glory to God. Didn't get nothing from us. Didn't get nothing from us. Hallelujah. You have conflicts. Number five, you have conflicts that you feel have yet to be resolved. That thing that happened 8 years ago, 12 years ago, for some people it was just last month. And you know that thing still bothers you, but you know, he weaseled his way out of it like he always do. She blamed it on me again like she always do. I'm telling you, that is a sign that the cankerworm is working in your marriage. I say this, husbands and wives, if your husband or your wife keep bringing up the same thing, you need to listen to that. You need to ask God, why does she keep saying this? See, because when it comes down to it, now, maybe I skipped over the foundation, but the foundation for all of this is the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, because ain't nothing psychological going to solve these problems we have. Ain't nothing like, these are spiritual problems. Yes. It's her spirit and my spirit trying to become one spirit. Right? So it's a spiritual problem and it's a spiritual force coming against both of these spirits to keep us from becoming what God made us to be. So it's that thing where you feel like, you know, we talked about this, we didn't argue about it, but yet I don't want to bring it up because it don't seem like it's going to be resolved. You have a nagging tension. This is number six. A nagging tension exists between you two that you have both just learned to live with. You know, you have learned to live with her just funky attitude in certain things. Or you have learned to live with his consistent ridicule or degradation. You have this nagging tension between you both that you keep hitting this wall when you try to go come together in certain areas of your life, and it just stays there, and you have just learned when you hit that wall, ain't no sense in fighting, just turn and go the other way. The cankerworm is at work in your marriage, if that exists. Number seven, and this is a big one, the only time you touch is to have sex. We should really think about the power of touch. We're going to talk about these things. I'm praying God to help us get it done in 2 days. Amen. Okay, so because we're talking about just a couple of hours, right? So I'm trusting God to just some power-packed truths that will impact the darkness in our lives and even bring what we do have to another level. I believe that me and my wife can have more. We happy together today. We have peace with each other. And we can resolve issues very quickly. But I still believe it's more. If it's more of God for me, then it's more of my wife for me. And I want everything I can get. I want it all. And we, as the people of God, quickly will say, I won't accept nothing than God's best for me. But stop short of receiving God's best for our marriage. And that's a shame. I imagine God is probably very disappointed about us settling for less than the best in our marriage. I imagine he's very disappointed. I imagine he is saddened to know that he died for us to have so much, yet we settle for so little.
My Lord, say it, dog.
I would imagine looking in his face that still bears the scars of the thorns. You know those thorns represent the cares of this life? Say the thorns, son, was sown among thorns. Say what were the thorns? The thorns were the cares of this life. Well, he said, I'm going to take those thorns and I'm going to press them into my head for a crown. I'm going to let these heathens press the cares of this life into my head for a crown. He said, I'll wear your cares as a crown. I imagine to look into his face and see the scars, to bear our cares, and to say, Lord, I have nothing that you died for me to have. I imagine that would be very sad. That would be very sad. That he went through so much for us to have so little in our marriage. Okay? So these are the things we're going to cover. I want you to continue to pray, because there were quite a few couples that said they were going to be here. But I imagine if God fought me tooth and nail, if the devil fought me tooth and nail to keep me from being here and being ready, and the lights didn't work and the air ain't working up there and just all kind of little things, you know? I imagine there's some couples that's really fighting, man. And it probably will be some couples that just won't make it. It'll probably be some that just won't make it. And they need to be here. But you know what? We prayed for them. And either way it go, we're going to get this word to them. That's why we're recording it. We're going to get the word to them. And hey, when I see you, here, listen. So are y'all ready?
Amen.
We're going to have some power-packed testimony. We're going to have Brother Reggie come tomorrow. And he's going to bless us. And I'm sure we'll be deeply encouraged. And then we'll have one more night. So I want you to pray. I want us to go home tonight. And if at all possible, look your spouse in the eyes. And tell your spouse, I purpose to have everything I'm supposed to have in this marriage. And it don't matter how you think they're going to respond. And we should tell somebody else that too. I purpose to have everything I'm supposed to have in this marriage. And I settle for no less.
That's right.
Amen. So we just thank God right now. And God, we just thank you for your blessing in our life. Thank you for gathering us here together. Thank you for pouring out your spirit upon us to teach us and to just begin right now, even in this time, to uncover the canker worms that is in all of our lives. And I just thank you for it, Lord. And I give you the glory. I pray for the couples, God, that will be here on tomorrow night and on Wednesday night. And I thank you for the glory that you will pour into their life as they hear these words and respond to them in faith. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.